Good morning. So, happy Mother's Day. Oh, thank you. So to those of you who are mothers, you know that oftentimes the days are long, but the years are short. A moment can feel like it takes years, but then years feel like they pass in a moment. And you work very, very hard, and if you've done a good job, they leave you. So in some ways, it's a thankless job. So to you, I say happy Mother's Day. Those of you who are not yet, couldn't be or wouldn't be mothers, what I would say is some of the most maternal, protective, strong, loving women I know are not mothers. But they are some of the most maternal people I know. And in that way, they have mothered all of the rest of us through life in our darkest and deepest and lowest moments. And so to all of you ladies out there today, what I would say is, happy Mother's Day. So, we are in a series called The Best Question Ever, and it's about wisdom. It's about how to be wise, how to live with wisdom, how to just sort of go through life and live a wise life. The thing about wisdom is that wisdom is elusive. It's like all of us know that we would want to live a wise life, but it's sort of like this thing where wisdom is like this thing that's sort of out there and far, and maybe one day when I grow up, I'll be a wise person. Or maybe if I move to a monastery and just like sat in silence for like 10 hours a day and just like, and swore off possessions, then I would one day be a wise person. And wisdom kind of in our culture gets boiled down to like fortune cookie wisdom. You know, you ever open a fortune cookie and you're like, it says something like, life is what you make it, so go make life. And you're like, that's either wise or the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I'm not sure which. Or, you know, like in movies, you know, oftentimes there is a character who is the source of wisdom. You know, Yoda, do or do not. There is no try. And you're like, sometimes I try and don't do. I don't know, Yoda, if that. Like, but all of us would want to be wisdom. All of us would want to have a life that is marked by wisdom. Actually, the Bible talks about if you don't live a life that is marked by wisdom, what your life will look like, what the consequences of that will actually be. And there's actually three different categories of people who go through life, who live white life, and they never sort of begin to accrue wisdom. And so wisdom doesn't have to be this far-off thing for people who have sworn off possessions and sit in silence for 10 hours a day. Actually, the Bible expects and calls all of us to gain wisdom, to produce wisdom, and warns against having a life where we don't live with, operate with, live a life marked by wisdom. There's a comedian actor named Pete Holmes who says that people don't want religion, but they do want wisdom. And I would say that wisdom comes from God, and that he wants and expects and hopes that all of us live wise lives. So this is the third week of this series. The first week, we unpack the best question ever, which is, what's the wise thing to do, considering my past experiences, my present situation, and my future hopes and dreams? And this comes from a book that I read for the first time about 15 years ago, called of the same title, The Best Question Ever. And ever since then, it's sort of like shaped and molded how I make decisions and go through life. What's the wise thing to do based on not your past, but my past? Not based on where you're at, but where I'm at. And not your hopes and dreams, but my hopes and dreams. And it assumes that I have hopes, dreams, and goals. And then last week, John applied it to time. He said, when it comes to time, you should experience Christ before you express Christ. You have one wild and crazy life. What are you going to do with it? When it comes to your time, put down root before you begin to produce fruit. And he did a great job there, and I watched that this week, and I was so proud of him there. This week, we're talking about what the options are. What are the wisdom alternatives? If you do not live a wise life, what will your life look like? And by the way, I'm going to be in your hula hoop a little bit. And you're like, Jake, I don't know what that means. Well, I used to be a youth pastor, and sometimes when you're a youth pastor, you have some kids who don't understand personal space quite yet. You know, they're kind of like in-your-face talkers, or you turn around and they're practically touching you because they're just kind of like, you know, they're kind of lurkers. They're just kind of like in your face. And it's not, you know, oftentimes it's middle school boys, let's be honest, right? But they just don't understand personal space yet. And so they're like talking to you and their face is right here. And it's like, all right, man, you stay there. What were you saying, right? And so you tell them, all right, just imagine you're holding a hula hoop. And imagine I'm holding a hula hoop. Our hula hoops can touch, but they can't cross over. Don't be in my hula hoop. It's my personal space, right? And so today I'm going to kind of get in your hula hoop maybe a little bit. I'm going to get into your personal space a little bit. Some of the things I say when I'm unpacking these might be a little bit offensive. But it's not, I'm not talking about you. I didn't think, all right, I'm going to talk about Stephen Burkett today. So I'm going to read up on, no, it's nothing like that. It's just a matter of, it's some of these things, all of us at times live and make choices that are unwise. And we have to sort of deal with the consequences. So the first thing, the first alternative to wisdom, if you are not a wise person, if you don't accrue wisdom over your life, the first thing the Bible says about you is that you might be simple. Jake, that's not a good start. I know. I'm sorry. It's not me. It's the Bible. It's not. I didn't write this. It's Solomon who wrote Proverbs. So if you're mad with someone, he's been dead for thousands of years. So I don't know what to tell you, right? But he talks about how the simple are not wise. But the simple basically means that this is someone who lacks experience. This is someone who is young, or they are inexperienced in life. They're not. It's not that they're ignorant or dumb. It's just that they are inexperienced. I'll give you an example. When I was in college, I walked into the store Express, and I was walking up to the counter, and I had some clothes in my hand, and they came to me, and they were like, hey, would you like to put this on your Express card? And I said, I don't know what that is. And I was like 19 at the time, 20. And they're like, well, if you open Express card today, we can give you 20% off these clothes. You would do that for me? What kind of black magic is this, right? And so I was like, yes, whatever that is, I'm game, and thank you for telling me about it. And so the person behind the counter pressed some buttons, and they came back to me and said, well, congratulations, you've been approved for $500 on your Express card. And I'm like, I have no idea what any of those words mean, but let's go. This sounds like fun. And so they hand me the bag of clothes and didn't take any of my money. And so I thought it was like the best thing ever. And so I walked out with my clothes. And like a month later, I got this card in the mail and it had my name on it, which was awesome. And then I got a bill and it said, your minimum payment is $15. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I spent more than that. And that's all I have to pay right now. This is awesome. Why did anyone tell me about this? Right? And so I have this, I get a bill every month for $15. And as the story goes on, like I go back into Express and I buy more clothes. And they're like, would you like to, actually, before you say it, yes, I would. I'd like to put it on my Express card. That sounds like fun. And they would just hand me the clothes in a bag. And then a month later, I'd get a bill. And eventually, my minimum payment went up to $25. And I'm like, $25, that's nothing. And so life was great. It was golden. They were like basically giving me clothes for free, which I couldn't believe no one had ever told me about until that moment. And then one day my dad pulled me aside. Yeah. He's like, son, you've been paying your Express bill. Yes, 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 I have, Dad, because I'm an adult and I'm responsible and I am wise. He's like, well, you've been paying the minimum, right? Yes, yes, Dad, I have. It's crazy. I really am a little embarrassed and ashamed of you. You never told me about this. They'll give you stuff if you just open a card. And he's like, well, so you've been paying $25. Mm-hmm. Yep, I have every month, responsible. There is a 15% interest. Yep, I don't know what that is, but that sounds good. Yep, I think that's pretty industry standard. I read it in a blog somewhere. So he's like, all right, you owe $350 on this card. Yep, that sounds about right. That sounds accurate. 15% of that is roughly $50 of interest a month, and you're paying $25 a month in your minimum payment. You've literally not paid one penny towards those clothes, and you've only paid towards interest. What? What do you mean? Like, how is this possible? I haven't paid a penny towards it. I paid $25 for like 6 months now. Yep, that's how it works. And this is legal? Yes. People get into lots of trouble this way. Right, what is this? What is this story? Was I a stupid person? No. Was I dumb? No. I was simple, inexperienced. And it happened to us recently. Like, we have this phone through Sprint, and it's this lease, because they don't sell you phones anymore, they lease you phones. And our lease was up, and so we thought we were paying off this phone. Come to find out, you have to call them and tell them you want to pay off the phone, otherwise we'll just charge you towards the lease every month. And I'm like, wait, if we had just called you a year ago, this thing would be paid off, but now we have to pay you $200 for it. Okay, I've been here before. All right, we're not dumb, we're not stupid, but we're just inexperienced when it comes to phone contracts. And this is how life works. This is, you don't have experience until you have experience. There's this, truth teller and theologian of our time named Taylor Swift. Why are you laughing? Oh. And she says, when you're 15 and someone tells you they love you, you believe them. Why? Because you are simple, inexperienced. You haven't lived life yet. You've never had to go through life and have someone you know and love give up years or decades to some sort of addiction. You've never experienced that. And so you don't have any problems playing around with things you shouldn't play around with. You've never had a relationship based on lies that left you so emotionally broken that you were not sure if you'd ever be able to have emotional intimacy again. And so you'll go into relationships and give your heart over easily because you are inexperienced. You're simple. You've never dug a financial hole quickly that will take you years to dig your way out of, because you can dig financial holes way faster than you can dig your way out of financial holes. Why? Because you are inexperienced at life. In Proverbs 14:15 says this. It says, the simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. They believe anything. It's just like, I don't have experience. I haven't gone through life enough. I don't know. I just don't have the experience to say I should know better. If it's too good to be true, it probably is. The thing about being simple, though, the thing about being young and inexperienced is it is a real opportunity. There is real opportunity in being young and inexperienced, because what you have is you have the youthfulness of being inexperienced, but you can glean the wisdom of more experienced people. You can live with both the youth and the wisdom, and then you can make good use of your time. You can experience Christ before you express Christ. You can put down roots before you produce fruit, like John talked about last week. And you can have the benefit of youth and the benefit of wisdom. But the problem of the tension here, is that people who have experience want to share wisdom with people who don't have experience, but the people who don't have experience want to prove themselves. They want to stand on their own 2 feet and say, I'm an adult, I can do these things, I don't need your help, I want to be independent. And the whole time, this person with experience is like, yes, I know that you can be independent. I just want to give you some of my wisdom I gained the hard way, so you don't have to gain this wisdom the hard way. And they're like, nope, I don't want that. I want to prove myself on my own 2 feet. And so you have people with wisdom and experience. They probably gain this wisdom the hard way. And people who don't have wisdom and who don't have experience. And there's this tension there. But if you find yourself in the situation where you have youthful energy but not wisdom and experience, what I would say to you is this. I would say, don't trade what you want most for what you want now. Because there are going to be things in your life that you want most, more than anything else. And you can't accomplish those things now, but you can make sure you can't accomplish them later. Don't give up what you want most for what you want now. You can't accomplish those things today or tomorrow, the day after, but you can make it much, much harder to accomplish those things. So the cure for the simple is time. They just need a little more time, a little more seasoning. And maybe this time can come through osmosis, like they can gain time. Like in that conversation I had about the credit card, my very first credit card, I gained wisdom through my father's experience. I gained his wisdom through his time. And I know people who have a similar story, but their story isn't, I spent $300 at Express, is I bought a $30,000 car on a lease because I didn't know any better. Like, I know people who did that. We're like, I walked into a car lot, and 2 hours later, I had a brand new car. And I was like, wow, they just give these things away. No, they don't, right? And so my story, it's obviously not optimal, but it could have gone way, way worse. The second option, if you are not going to live a wise life, gets a little more offensive. But again, bear with me, not my words, by this guy named Solomon. He calls you a fool. You're like, oh, thanks, Jake. I appreciate it. No. Honestly, all of us at times are all, I'm letting you behind the curtain a little bit. All of us at times are all of these things. And very few of us at times are these things constantly. If someone who is simple says, I don't know, someone who is a fool says, I don't care. I know better. I know this thing isn't good for me. I know this thing isn't the wise thing for me to do. And I don't care. You've been doing this for how long? It hasn't been going well? A long time. Why don't you stop? I don't want to. Why not? Because I don't care. She was unfaithful in the past, and she told me she told you she wouldn't be again, and then she was again, and now you're still back with this person. Why is that? Because I want to be, but you shouldn't be. I don't care. You've been digging yourself into a financial hole for a long time. You haven't been doing wise things with your money. You should really stop and begin to dig yourself out of that hole. I know. You know what? I don't care. I don't want to. The side of the package says it's dangerous. I know. I don't care. And over and over and over again, I'll be honest with you. If you're dating a loser, everyone around you knows it way, way, way before you. And they're just trying to find a way to tell you in a way that you'll listen. And you say, hey, that person, they're just like your last boyfriend or girlfriend. Like, yeah, I know. I don't care because they're cute and they're kind of dangerous in that good way. No, no, it's not the good way. It's the bad way. They're not good for you. Right, this is what happens, is a fool says, I know it's not wise, I know it's not best. You know, 1 Corinthians says that everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And what the fool does is the fool says, I know this thing isn't beneficial for my life. I know it doesn't bring me to where my God-placed hopes and dreams for my life are. It's not beneficial. And the fool says, you know what? I don't care. I know it's not God's best for my life. I know it's not beneficial, and I'm going to pursue these things anyway. This verse in Proverbs 26 is super descriptive, maybe a little too descriptive, but it says this about a fool. It says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. We're going to bring a dog out here, and I'm just kidding. that'd be a really terrible thing because we don't have plastic down on the carpet. But it would get the point across. And this is what a fool does, right? A fool makes poor choices, they make mistakes, and they make those same mistakes again. Financial decisions, relational decisions, health decisions, job decisions. The last time the new iPhone came out, you had to go out and buy it. And this time there's a new iPhone out, and you have to go out and buy it. You really probably shouldn't. I know, but I want to, and I don't care. All right, you're a dog returning to your vomit. Like, this is just how, right? And so oftentimes what happens is if the cure for the simple is time, oftentimes the cure for the fool is tragedy. Like, the consequences come, and they thought it wouldn't apply to them, they thought it wasn't going to impact them, and what happened was the tragedy came, the consequences more than they expected, and eventually they just turned around. Man, I knew all along it wasn't good for me, and I just kept going. Yeah, that happens. That's how life works. Consequences eventually catch up to you. You know, Proverbs 13:20 says it this way. It says, walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. And if, you know, if you're a parent, and if you understand this, like you see your friend's kid, your kid's friends, and you're like, oh my goodness, all of my kids' friends are fools. Like, oh my goodness, they're all like, they're not who I want them to be with, not who I want them to spend time with. You know that their friends impact future. And then this is why parents obsess over friends. If you are someone and your parents don't like your friends, if you're a young person, if you're here and your parents don't like your friends, this is why. It's because you don't have to be a fool to suffer harm. You just have to be the companion of a fool. And you will suffer harm. I know sermons like this one, oftentimes people are like, man, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this. And I was like, yeah, I would just say, don't skip past. Like, look at your life. Are there areas in your life when there are things, choices you're making that aren't beneficial? And God says, hey, man, you can live a wise life or you can continue in these ways. But if you continue in these ways, it's foolishness. And what I would say is that these things, like, everyone at certain points is in certain chairs here. Like, there are times when we are inexperienced, and when we're young and we get older and we're still inexperienced. And there are times we make unbeneficial things, choices, and we continue to make them. And the third chair is this. The third option, if you're not going to be wise, is a mocker. Someone who mocks wisdom. Someone who not only, like, says, this says, simple says, I don't know. The fool says, I don't care. And the mocker says, you don't know. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, you're dumb. Get out of my face. The mocker oftentimes is the loudest person in the room. Have you ever noticed how the loudest voice in the room is never the smartest voice in the room? Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that every family has one of these? And if your family doesn't, well, we can talk later. Every family has that one uncle who just, he comes in to like the Easter dinner and he immediately brings up politics and he's like talking loudly. And if you think differently, he's like condescending and critical. And you know what? That, honestly, like who has one of these in their family? Let's be honest. Yeah, we have these. We have these, right? And all of you who don't have your hands up, I just have some bad news for you, right? Right, I mean, all of us understand this, is that they're critical and they're condescending. They want to keep you off balance. They want to prove that they're the smartest one. They talk very, very loudly with very strong opinions about a few specific things that they feel strongly about. Oftentimes, these people, they won't be church people. The Bible talks about, you know, some people, the gospel is life, and to others, it is like foolishness and death and stupid. And oftentimes, those people are the mockers. They just look at faith and the things of God, and they're like, that's so dumb. How could you believe any of that? You're like, it's changed my life. That's why I believe it. And sometimes these people, the mockers, they love telling you their position. They love telling you their experience. I'm the boss. I'm the man. I'm the director. I'm the one with experience. You should listen to me. But Proverbs 9, 7 through 8 says it this way. It says, anyone who rebukes a mocker will get an insult in return. Anyone who corrects the wicked will get hurt. So don't bother correcting mockers. They will only hate you, but correct the wise, and they will love you. And so what you have is these are the three sort of like options for if you're not going to live a wise life. And through the book of Proverbs, kind of from beginning to the end, it references these three like sort of like groups of people in different ways. And if you read through the book of Proverbs, by the way, I would strongly suggest it. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and you can read through a different proverb a day for most months. And you can read it, and I read through Proverbs most years, at least once. Just like read through and remind myself of what's going on and what wisdom is and what wisdom is available to me. But throughout Proverbs, from front to back, it talks about the simple, the fool, and the mocker. If the cure for the simple is time and the cure for the fool is tragedy, oftentimes the cure for the mocker is to begin to trust. Trust you're not the smartest one in the room. Trust you don't know everything in the entire world. Trust that there is something and someone powerful, more powerful than you. Begin to have trust in a God that loves you and wants the best possible outcome for your life, who loves you long before you even believed in him. Like, begin to trust. Begin to humble yourself. And that really sort of transitions to, I mean, this should be a warning. And it probably, at times, should be familiar. Like, you can probably think, like, you probably have stories like my credit card story. You probably have things in your life, even today, where you're like, honestly, there's this part of my life, it's not beneficial, and I do it anyway. Because in that area, I act with foolishness. And many of you have areas when you feel very sort of strongly, and maybe you are that person at times, or you know someone who is a mocker, who is condescending and critical and keeps people off balance in that way. But the question becomes, how do you gain wisdom? Like, if this is the alternative, if we don't become wise people, if we don't live with wisdom, then how do we, this is what we can expect from life, how then do we live with wisdom? How do we become wise people? And actually, the Bible talks about that as well. I would say that there's sort of like a two-step, like opposite flip side of the same coin to becoming wise people. And all of us would want to be a wise person. There's no one here who's like, honestly, wisdom, take it or leave it. Like, I don't really want that. Everyone would want to be a wise person, someone who other people could come to gain wisdom, who has a sort of well of applied knowledge in their life. And so, how does someone become wisdom, gain wisdom? It's two sides of the same coin. The first one, I would say, is to humble yourself. Proverbs 11:2 says this. It says, pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. And really what this is, and the Bible talks over and over again about how pride opposes God and how humility creates space for God in your life. And basically, if you look at your life as a whole, and as you humble yourself, what you're doing is you're pulling your control over your life back a little bit and allowing, saying, God, this thing is bigger than me. If I am left my own devices, I will make a mess of things. I need your guidance in my life at times. I'm going to pull control back in a certain area and create space for you so that you can fill that space with wisdom. So the first step there is to honestly take stock of where you're at and to humble yourself and say, God, I need you. I need to humble myself. I need to create space for you in my life. I'm going to let go of these things, these aspects of my life. There's this aspect of my life that it's permissible, but it's not beneficial, and I'm doing it anyway. I'm going to pull back from that and create space for you to speak into that. I'm going to humble myself. You know, 1 Peter 5:5 says this. It says, in the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of elders. This is talking to specifically the simple. He says, all right, if you are simple, you should give yourself over to the wisdom of more experienced people so that you can have youth and wisdom. But he says, all of you, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. As in, regardless of what's happening, like pull yourself back, like create space for other people to speak wisdom into your life, for God to come in and begin to dispense wisdom in these areas of your life. Step one, humble yourself. Understand that you don't have all the answers. Understand that you might be open to new ideas, new challenges, new understandings. Assume you always have something to learn. Create space for God to speak wisdom into your life. And I would ask you, do you live with that as a core value? Do you live just sort of like this humble life of, there are new ideas, new thoughts, new opinions, new understandings I've never had before. And I think, I could have so much I could learn at all times. First step, humble yourself. And the second step is this, is to ask God for wisdom. You know, James 1:5 says it this way. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And this is like two sides of the same coin, right? Like if you create space for God to come into your life and speak about different areas of your life, say, God, I don't have enough wisdom. I need to gain wisdom. I need to humble myself. And then once you create space for him, you say, God, now that this space has been created for you, I need your wisdom. I need you to give me your wisdom. I need you to speak into my life. There are aspects of my life that I need help with. I need you to give me wisdom. And the thing is, what this does, when you humble yourself, and ask God for wisdom in these areas of life, in areas you're inexperienced, in areas you are doing things that aren't beneficial, in areas when you have come with pride in the past. If you humble yourself and you ask God for wisdom, what it does is it turns the best question ever into a prayer. See, the best question ever is, what's the wise thing to do considering my past, my present, and my future hopes and dreams? But when you turn this thing into a prayer, when you ask God for wisdom, what you do is you say, God, what's the wise thing for me to do considering my past, my present, and my future hopes and dreams? And it's not this question that comes from your own sort of like well of wisdom. It's you reliant on Jesus. It's you being like, Jesus, if I'm left to my own devices, I'm going to wreck my life. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to do dumb things. I'm probably going to do the dumb things over and over and over and over again. I need you. I need Jesus. I need your wisdom in my life. I need you to come in and speak into my life. And what it does is it changes this question into a prayer. And this is a prayer you can pray on a daily basis. I believe that if you prayed this prayer on a daily basis, Jesus, there's this moment, there's this decision, there's this relationship, there's this purchase. I need your wisdom. Jesus, what's the wise thing for me to do considering my past, my present, my future? I think it would not only make you a wiser person, you would make wiser decisions, and you would understand your own sort of need and reliance for Jesus. And then you would talk to Jesus and involve him in your life more than you ever have before. And so what this does is it creates this sort of constant conversation and connection with him. And oftentimes prayer is a sort of mysterious thing that super spiritual people do. And that's what we think about it. But really, it's just having conversations with Jesus. And when you involve Jesus into your decision-making, when you say, Jesus, I need wisdom. What's the wise thing for me to do considering my past, my present, my future hopes and dreams? You talk to Jesus more. You make wiser decisions. You become a wiser person. And you're just more in touch with your reliance on him. See, these things right here, they should be warnings. You should want to move past an experience. You shouldn't want to make the same decisions over and over again. You shouldn't want to live with a pride and arrogance about the way you talk and think and view the world. But all of these things, not only are they a warning, they're an invitation. Man, if you don't have experience, lean into the wisdom of others or lean into what Jesus has for you. If you've made the same decisions over and over and over again, you will continue to make those decisions until you humble yourself and give yourself over to Jesus. If you're someone who approaches life with arrogance and condescension, man, humble yourself. Create space for him and invite him into that. What this is, it is taking God at his word. If God is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. And he says he promises that if you ask for wisdom, he will give you wisdom. then what I would say is take him at his word. Count him faithful. Depend on his promises. Turn this best question ever into a daily prayer. Jesus, what's the wise thing to do considering my past and my present and my future hopes and dreams? I need your wisdom. I'm dependent on you. Help me today. And you will make wiser choices. You will no longer be simple or a fool or a mocker. And you'll have this sort of like beautiful relationship with Jesus where you're talking with him all day long, every day. And on that, let's pray. Because I am so thankful that you understand what it's like to be human today, that you understand that we are dependent on you, that you call us to better, and that you understand that we're going to make mistakes over and over and over again, and you continue to offer wisdom. And you understand that that's why you offer grace. You offer grace for those mistakes, and then you offer wisdom so we don't have to make them again. And this, in some ways, God, it feels so elementary. In other ways, it feels wise. It feels profound. It feels like it's an invitation to a better life. God, all of us have made mistakes in the past that maybe we're still paying for the consequences of, but hopefully we don't get to that place where we have to sort of like be scarred by the tragedy of our foolishness. This is honestly gracious and invitational, but it kind of starts out in this offensive way. And it's so funny, Jesus, because that's kind of how your gospel is. It kind of starts out offensive, but then it ends invitational. So God, as we go through our lives as a community, but as individuals, and we give ourselves over to you, if we open up our hearts and we create space for you, and we say, Jesus, I need your wisdom. You promise us that you will give us wisdom. But God, I ask you to give us a special sort of like anointing of wisdom. Give us true wisdom, soul-level wisdom, wisdom that shapes us, wisdom to make wise choices, and so much so that it overflows and we can share that wisdom with others. But if we give ourselves over to you, if we turn this question into a prayer, if we talk to you sort of daily whenever we make decisions, if there's a decision or an invitation coming and we take a beat and we pray this prayer to you, I believe that we would make better choices. And we would be so much closer with you, have a closer relationship with you. We'd be more aligned to you. But Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the way that you understand us. We thank you for the way that you invite us into a relationship with you. We just ask you for wisdom. We ask you to give us, when we ask you for wisdom, God, we ask you to give us a special anointing of that wisdom so we can have this wisdom and we can share it with others. So we love you. Thank you. In your name, amen.